Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. We have, as usual, a jam-packed show today for you on this Thursday, September the 25th, 2014. We are broadcasting live from Tucson's most powerful news talk station, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And for all the podcasts and the complete show archive, again, we send you over to buckmastershow.com. All of our shows are there. We're going to now resume our ongoing candidate interview series between now and Election Day. The Buckmaster Show listeners will hear some 36 candidates for state and federal office during the noon hour on this program. Up to the plate now, United States Representative Ann Kirkpatrick, who is seeking re-election for another two-year term in the Congressional District Number 1. Congresswoman, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Really appreciate being on your show.
Well, thank you for being with us and taking a few minutes during your lunch hour. I know yesterday was the first televised sit-down kind of debate between you and your opponent, Republican congressional challenger Andy Tobin. What do you think was the takeaway message from that event last night?
Well, you know, my message is about getting results. I mean, I've been able to cut through the partisan bickering and the gridlock in Congress and actually get things done for Arizona. That's what I was sent there to do, and lately a lot of my work has been centered around fighting for our veterans, making sure that they get the benefits that they've earned. And, you know, earlier this year we had a congressional field hearing at the VA in Tucson. We were specifically targeting issues regarding traumatic brain injuries and post-traumatic stress. It was a very emotional hearing. But out of that came some ways that we can improve how we deliver medical services for our veterans, and we passed one of the major reforms, first major reform for the VA since 1999. And that law just became effective August 7th.
It seems like the opposition is trying to blame you for for what they don't like about President Obama.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that safe to say that's kind of what we're hearing?
Yeah, that certainly seems to be their platform. And, you know, that's just out of touch with the district. I mean, we've got a sprawling district here that has a lot of diversity. And it's really about, you know, what's your plan to represent the people in Congressional District 1? But you're right, my opponent really is just focused on the president. I just completed a five-week Arizona at work tour in my district, going from small town to small town, talking with people about economic development and jobs. I have a vision for the district, which is creating a diversified, stable economy, and that building up our critical infrastructure. And that's my focus, is on the district.
What about the record of your opponent as the state house speaker, Mr. Tobin?
Well, clearly his policies are not good for Congressional District 1. And I'll just give you some examples. I mean, he's opposed to the Affordable Care Act, which reauthorized the funding for Indian Health Services. The Native Americans are 25% of the district. We have 12 tribes. He's against immigration reform, which the folks in my district feel like we really need to do in Arizona in order to develop the economy that we want. He fought Medicaid expansion, and 21,000 people in my district just signed up for Medicaid. And then, you know, he's very much against creating a business-friendly Arizona for economic development. He rammed through the legislature the discriminatory bill, Senate Bill 1062, which, Bill, almost cost us the Super Bowl. I mean, thank heavens the governor vetoed it.
What about the foreign policy situation? I want to ask you about what's going on now with the airstrikes, which may be going on for quite a while, against ISIS in Syria, and what's been going on in northern Iraq. Some of your thoughts, please.
You know, it's a serious situation, and I support the airstrikes, but Congress has really called on the president to discuss with us if he has any plans to escalate this. And so, you know, we're keeping an eye on it. It is definitely a serious situation. And you've got Davis Monthan there in Tucson, and I'm sure those folks are as concerned as well.
Folks are also concerned about Fort Huachuca. There's been talk about up to 2,000 or 3,000 jobs perhaps being lost in the future there at Fort Huachuca.
Yes. Yeah, very concerning. And I know that's in my colleague Ron Barber's district. And I know that that's something that they're really concerned about.
How about immigration reform? You and your opponent, Mr. Tobin, really seem to have a really, there's quite a contrast there, isn't there?
There definitely is. I support the Senate bill that passed out of the Senate almost a year and a half ago. And in a bipartisan manner, our two senators worked very hard on that. It's tough. It's fair. It has a pathway to citizenship, and you know that's the direction that I support. My opponent doesn't support that. That's unfortunate.
You know, this is as you termed it, sprawling, and that's an accurate way to describe Congressional District 1. And I believe CD1 is the largest congressional district in the United States, not counting like Wyoming, which is a state and in effect an entire congressional district. So
yep, you're right about that.
You have so many, such diversity in this district, from the suburban areas of Tucson and Phoenix up to the more very rural areas of the White Mountains, the Navajo Nation. How do we bring that whole, what is a unifying factor, let me put it that way, of the people? What are their concerns?
The things, the two issues that unify the district are fighting for our veterans and then, you know, jobs, creating good paying jobs and economic development. So those two issues really are affect every part of this vast sprawling district, which covers over half the state of Arizona. And that's my focus, is building up our critical infrastructure so we can attract good businesses and then helping our veterans. And, you know, I have an office in Marana, and so much of my work is helping veterans and helping constituents with things like, you know, coverage for Medicare, Social Security, getting access to care at the VA. So we just tallied up our numbers, and we've saved taxpayers in my district over $2 million in savings and benefits to the CD1 taxpayers.
Ann Kirkpatrick is with us, United States Representative from CD1 on the Buckmaster Show, part of our ongoing series interviewing as many of the key candidates between now and Election Day. Let's go to a quick question, Congresswoman, to our live line, 790-2040, and we'll hear what the caller has on his or her mind. Go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Yes, Congresswoman, my question for you is, how have you partnered up with the other congressional delegations here in the state of Arizona to help minimize the loss or the impact of troops at Fort Huachuca and Davis Monthan? I know they're not in your district, but how have you, if anything, partnered up with them to help minimize any negative impact on the state?
Okay. Well, you know, the economy in Arizona is critical for the entire delegation, and we are working together. You know, Ron Barber passed a bill to support the A-10 at Davis-Monthan, and I certainly support that. Davis-Monthan and our bases are huge economic engines in the state of Arizona, and so I support that.
How about the Navajo Generating Station? There was some concern about the loss of jobs up there.
That is still a big concern. And so the Navajo Generating Station is a coal-fired electric plant, and we have been fighting the EPA on the regulations, which threatened to shut it down. That continues to be a battle, and in that area, it creates over 500 good-paying jobs, and there are no other jobs to replace that. But it also affects the southern part of the state because it provides the energy for the Central Arizona Project, which is the water our farmers use down in the southern part of the state.
How many jobs does people down here in southern Arizona really don't understand what a key player that is for Navajo land, do they?
They do not. And over 85% of their employees are Navajos. And those jobs are such good paying jobs that, you know, they support multiple families on the Navajo Nation, where we still have very, very high unemployment.
Ann Kirkpatrick with us on the Buckmaster interview series. What about the situation with debates? You did one last night. It seems like a lot of these debates are kind of becoming endangered species. Are there some others that are going to happen between now and Election Day?
There are some others coming up. Mm-hmm. I challenged my opponent to five debates. And one throughout the district, one in Flagstaff, one on Navajo land, and then the one we had last night, one in Casa Grande, and one also in Oral Valley. So he's only agreed to two of those. We're going to do one in Casa Grande, and Oral Valley seems to be neglecting the northern part of the state, refusing to debate in Flagstaff or on the Navajo Nation.
Okay, Ann Kirkpatrick, we're going to let you go here very quickly, but where can people find out more about the campaign and what's your some of your information that you're putting out?
They can go to my website, which is kirkpatrickforarizona.com. That's the campaign website, and we'd love to hear from people.
You mentioned you had an office in the Marana area. What are your other offices in the state that you have?
We have five congressional offices.
Five of them. Wow.
Five. And then two part-time offices. So we have, because it's a huge district and we want to be accessible to the constituents, we have one in Flagstaff, one in Casa Grande, Sholo, Marana, and Globe. And then we do hours in Sedona. As well. So let me give your listeners the Marana phone number.
Okay.
They can reach me at 520-382-2663. Again, that's 520-382-2663.
Okay. Ann Kirkpatrick, thank you very much for being with us today. I hope you have a good weekend ahead of you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
I would certainly recommend American Openings for anybody.
I had an idea of what I could afford, and the price of these windows is the best in Arizona.
He told us about the warranty and the process of the work.
American Openings were very courteous.
They did not have to go in and restucco anything.
They installed these in one day, and I didn't think it was possible.
American Openings had no gimmicks. They were great.
They really improved the looks of my home.
Two thumbs up.
The choice for replacing your windows is clear. American Openings, Arizona's window manufacturer.
Are you participating in the 2014 El Tour de Tucson, presented by Casino del Sol Resort? Well, head on over to Silver City, New Mexico on October the 4th for the 4th annual Desert Springs Physical Therapy Gila Monster Grand Fondo. It's the perfect tune-up for El Tour at 103 miles with over 9,000 feet of climbing. Once finished, participants can visit the Little Toad Brewery and Distillery in downtown Silver City for a discounted meal and a drawing for a stay at the Southwest Inn at Sedona. More information is at tourofthegila.com. That's tourofthegila.com.
Do you have flood or fire damage to your home?
Floods and fires can attract termites to the home and destroy pest prevention measures. Five Star Termite and Pest Control has a comprehensive treatment plan to protect your refurbished home. Five Star treats the building materials of the home not once, but twice. You can have Five Star's most thorough treatment protecting your home, and your homeowner's insurance covers it.
So before your restoration begins, call Five Star Termite and Pest Control, 886-0045.
We're Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you land at 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1221. Well, officially the monsoon ends on October the 1st, and looks like we may have one more kind of outburst of some thunderstorms activity this weekend, but it is not really tropical related, but kind of a what's even being characterized by the Weather Service is kind of what would normally be a late fall type weather event coming down from the northwest. But still, bottom line, there will be rain probably this weekend, but then officially the monsoon ends on October the 1st, and then the drying will begin. Joining me in studio, Zach Guido. We always turn to Zach when we want to talk about monsoon and water and all the climate-related issues. Zach is at the University of Arizona, where he's an ace climate scientist. Zach, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
It's been an interesting, but they're all interesting, I guess, monsoon season. But this one was especially interesting because of the two tropical-related events that happened within a seven-day period.
Yeah, September has been pretty interesting. It's been pretty active tropical storm-wise. As you mentioned, we had Odile, which caused a lot of precipitation in southern Cochise County, for example. Missed sort of the metro Phoenix region, but that region got slammed with Norbert, which was in the beginning of September. So September has been above average for most of the southern half of Arizona, for that matter. And the monsoon is always sort of a curious animal, and it came in on time this year. Historical onset date, July 4th. July was kind of wasn't terribly wet, wasn't mm-hmm. terribly dry. August, however, was above average for most parts, and of course September has been dominated by those tropical storms.
Came in on time and looks like it will be, believe it or not, remarkably leaving on time by Monday. The forecast is a real considerable drying, shifting in the wind, more to a dry situation. So total moisture-wise, how did we do in southern Arizona? And of course, everyone's wondering, will this above-average overall precipitation break this decade, more than a decade-long drought?
Well, I'll answer that after. I'll describe Arizona. So Cochise County and sort of central Arizona, the Phoenix area, have been the wettest in terms of percent above average. The Four Corners region, however, has been below average. So if you look at the entire state, about 20% of the state is experiencing less than 75% of average. 40% is sort of in this sort of near average realm, and 40% is about 125% or above, with some areas above 200%. In terms of influencing this decade-long drought, it kind of depends on what you're talking about. It does matter for vegetation, this monsoon precipitation, although the timing of the monsoon precipitation is important as well. What comes in late in September is not as useful for the growing season as if it comes in early. But in terms of water supply, if you look around the Southwest, even New Mexico for that matter, we're still feeling the effects of, you know, a drought that began by and large in 2000. If you look at Arizona as a whole, precipitation for the year averaged over the year, there's only been 1 year in the last 14 where we've experienced above average precipitation. You have to go back to 2005. 2010 was about average, a sliver above average, but so there's been this sequence.
There's been these anomaly years,
right?
So really, from a historical point of view, you would really need a back to back at least 2 years of this above normal precipitation, at least 2 years.
At least two, for water in particular. Vegetation would respond, you know, a little bit on shorter time scale. So, you know, a good winter followed by a good monsoon matters. But yeah, I mean, I think everybody right now with regard to the status of Lakes Mead and Powell, they're looking for the winter and the precipitation that comes usually in the upper Colorado River Basin to help alleviate some of the shortages that may be coming down the pipe sooner than we'd like.
I always find weather so fascinating, especially when when you look at the tropical systems, because you look at the Atlantic hurricane area, which usually gets is kind of the major leagues for as far as the media covers that, very quiet in the Caribbean and the Atlantic. The situation in the Eastern Pacific, which affects us, has been incredibly active hurricane season off of Mexico. Folks in some parts of Mexico just really hammered with tropical rain this time.
That's right. Odile actually was the strongest hurricane to ever strike Cabo.
Yep.
So, yeah, there's been this sort of juxtaposition between an inactive Caribbean, Atlantic, and a very active tropical Pacific, or excuse me, Eastern Pacific.
And who knows why? I mean, maybe you do.
Well, I mean, before the season, people were projecting this based on the sort of anticipation that El Nino would evolve. It hasn't quite, El Nino hasn't evolved in the way it was initially thought, but we still get that sort of classic pattern of active in the Eastern Pacific and not active in the Atlantic and the Caribbean. I mean, that has an El Nino expression, in part because it alters the sea surface temperatures, which really fuel these tropical storms. So it amplifies them in the Pacific and suppresses them in the Atlantic. And then you've also got influences in the atmospheric flow aloft, more wind shear in the Atlantic, which can suppress hurricanes there. So we have this sort of El Nino expression, even though it hasn't materialized like we first thought.
It's a fascinating place for climate because think about it, Zach. How many areas in the world do you have bone dry conditions, you know, less humidities that can go down to 1 or 2%? Then for the folks who say, you know, I miss the humidity. My skin's so dried out. Well, you get 3 months of really very tropical living. So there are very few places where you get that kind of sharp contrast.
Yeah, that's correct. And even when you look inside the monsoon, the nuances from sort of a climate and weather perspective are just great. I mean, we're on the fringes of this phenomenon that's, and therefore it's influenced by a lot of different things, which create the sort of large spatial variability, and it creates the large sort of year-to-year variability. It's very difficult to predict, which is one of the, I think, one of the grand...
As we found out, a slight wind shift to the east took the took Odile away from the Tucson area. So the storm had pretty much been hammered over the mountains of Mexico, and the National Hurricane Center pretty much signed off when it hit those mountains of Mexico. But then the slight wind shift made all the difference for keeping it away from Tucson.
Yeah, it didn't have to go very far south for it to miss Tucson. You know, I mean, the projections indicated that it would come over Tucson. It didn't. I think that's a good thing.
We really, the ground was saturated. It could have been a lot of damage. It
would have led to a lot of impacts.
Yep.
For sure.
Zach Guido, UA climate scientist. Thank you, Zach. And we'll talk again as we start to really dry out. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Back with you on the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's vscot.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tanqueverty Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
It's 12:35 on the Thursday edition of the Buckmaster Show, and again, we continue now with our ongoing series, meeting as many of the candidates of interest for us here in Southern Arizona in the state and federal office seekers, and there are three candidates for two legislative seats in Legislative District Number 9 here in Tucson. Two are incumbents, Republican Ethan Orr and Democrat Victoria Steele. The challenger is Dr. Randall Fries, Tucson trauma surgeon, and he joins me now in studio. Dr. Fries, good to see you. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Bill. Thanks for the invitation.
How is the campaign going? What are people telling you when you go door to door, when you meet with people one-on-one, when you ask them the obvious question, what is on your mind? What do you want to see a state lawmaker do? Areas of concern?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're meeting a lot of people. I'm meeting a lot of people. We're knocking on doors. We're calling them on the phone. We're meeting them at their homes. And to be honest with you, one thing that people are very interested in is education and how Arizona is going to improve our system of public education. Most people are very aware that Arizona is one of the worst states in the nation when it comes to funding and supporting public education. And this is a big issue for most people because education, and particularly public education system, provides opportunities for people to improve their future.
You know, education really is going to be the big issue. It's going to be the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room or something like that, Rose, something like that. It's a $300 million, the elephant in the room. Yeah, that's the saying. $300 million that from a lawsuit that must be go back to public education. At least that's the way it's supposed to be. Voter-approved initiative. Many years ago, I think it was, could have been even 10 years ago.
It was 2001 or 2000.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the money did not go back to public education. And now the legislature, through a lawsuit, is going to be forced to deal with this issue. This is going to have huge budget implications.
Absolutely. And I think the bottom line is the ultimate source of resolution for this problem is not the legislature, it is not the governor, it is not the court system, it is the voter. And the voters have mandated this revenue, and the legislature has not been paying it. They have disregarded the voters' desire to fund our system of public education and fund it adequately. So I feel that we should abandon all attempts at appeals and repeals and challenges and simply pay back this money, pay what is owed as any responsible organization would do. And of course, it's going to be complicated, of course, but how do you deal with a complicated problem? You plan and you put together a sound solution. Next year, we can deal with this problem by using the Rainy Day Fund, which has $454 million, I believe.
Something like that.
And then we start planning for the subsequent years. There's 5 years of these $317 million reset and back payments that are due. And
The payment schedule is over not just 1 year, but it's a multi-year deal.
That's why we need to plan. We take care of next year. We take care of it right away and build into the budget a plan to repay these monies.
Yeah, because there's been talk, Dr. Freeze, of negotiating on the lawsuit, paying down the $300 million, delaying it somehow, but you're saying face this issue head on.
Just like you would ask any responsible person, this is a problem that is put in front of you, a problem that is of your own doing. Let's resolve it. Let's be responsible. Let's resolve it and get these monies paid. All that is coming from continuing to challenge this is more financial liability.
Since early in the year, you and Steve Kasachek, Tucson City Council member, have been working in collaboration with the Arizona Department of Health Services and the ASU College of Public Programs. It's an effort to begin collecting data on violent deaths for the Centers for Disease Control. Tell us about that.
This is a really exciting program, and I'm so happy to have Arizona begin to participate. This is a program that was put together many years ago, and I think 2009 there were only 18 states contributing data. And this is something through the CDC. It's a national effort, and it's funded by the CDC, so Arizona is going to receive funding to collect this data. And it's data on, it's called the National Violent Death Reporting System. And this is data on all violent deaths. And what I'm particularly interested in are those violent deaths that involve firearms. What this is going to allow us to do is adequately, scientifically study this problem. When you have large population-based databases, you can answer these questions in a scientifically, statistically sound method to start bringing up ideas for solutions. Are stricter gun laws actually helpful in reducing gun violence? Do comprehensive background checks actually decrease people injured by guns? When you look at the data available now, we have no clear assessment of how many people are injured by firearms. We know how many people are killed, but we don't have an adequate assessment of how many people are injured. And steps like this will help us to make those population-based data sets more robust.
As a trauma surgeon, is that really where you got interested in all of this?
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is something actually Councilman Kasachek reached out to me and said, hey, can you help me with this? You're a trauma surgeon. Mm-hmm. You have some expertise. So we reached out. We actually went through the Pima County Medical Society and said, as a member of the Pima County Medical Society, myself and Dr. Paul G said, we'd like to take this up through the Department of Health. We took it up through the Department of Health, and they actually said there was a group through ASU that had already applied and written a letter to the CDC to apply for this. So we partnered with them. I thought it was very important to get someone like myself who has public health interests. I've always said that gun violence is a public health problem. We must deal with it as a public health problem, begin to study it on a population-based way, and start answering some very basic important questions. And actually, we got into it kind of on the tail end of it. ASU had done most of the work, but they had invited us, Steve and I and Dr. G, to be part of the advisory council, which I'm very excited to participate in.
So Arizona now joining 31 other states.
That's correct. Yes. The number has grown from 2009. There were only 18 states. Now we're up to 31. Wouldn't it be great if we get all 50? How powerful will that data set be? How many questions can we pose? How many solutions can we start to put in place? That it's very exciting to participate in this.
We're speaking with Dr. Randall Freeze. He's a Tucson trauma surgeon. He's a candidate for LD9 as a Democrat in the state house. It's a three-way battle for two seats. This is your first run at public office, right?
Yes. I had, when I moved to Arizona, I had no thoughts of running. I've always felt that, and this is, I do tell people this frequently, I've always felt that what I do as a trauma surgeon is community service. Mm-hmm. We stand ready every day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, holidays, weekends. I spend 26, 30 hours in the hospital sometimes in a row to be ready to care for the injured patient. And I felt that it would be an opportunity to broaden my community service by participating in the discussions and the debates that affect my community. And I'm really excited about doing this. I'm having a really great time learning a lot, meeting people, getting a lot of gratitude, and I'm looking forward to the opportunity to serve in Phoenix.
All right, Dr. Freeze, where can people find out more about the campaign?
I have a website, mm-hmm. DrFreezeForHouse.com, and that's FRIESE. There's also a Facebook page at Dr. Freeze. We post on our website our activities on our calendar. There's also, if you sign up, you can receive emails every couple of weeks. We give summaries of what's going on, and we're very active, and we have a lot of volunteers helping. It's been a great, great experience.
Dr. Freeze, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for the invitation.
All right, we'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show with Allie Miller.
Hi, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. There's always a party or event going on somewhere, thanks to Arizona Party Rental. We're ready to roll out the red carpet for you. Hey, U of A basketball fans, let's hear what radio analyst Ryan Hansen has to say.
Hi, I'm Ryan Hansen, Arizona basketball radio analyst and vice president with Bon Voyage Travel. Our mission at Bon Voyage is to take the stress out of your travel planning. Our travel advisors will handle all of the details so you can prepare for your trip without the hassles. During my career with Arizona Athletics and Bon Voyage Travel, I've always counted on Arizona Party Rental for my event planning needs. They've handled the details with ease and made it a stress-free experience. Their customer service and knowledge make the party a five-star outing. If you're looking for help planning your next trip, come to the professionals at Bon Voyage. If you're looking for help planning your next event, go to the professionals at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ryan. Nice call. And a high five to your team at Bon Voyage Travel. Arizona Party Rental on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Everyone is invited to tour Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson during its all-day 10th anniversary celebration Saturday, October 4th. There will be something for everyone, including live action in the surgery department and doctor dress-up for the kids. Plus, your tour pass doubles as a raffle ticket with a chance to win great prizes. Veterinary Specialty Center Tucson at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, home of Specialty Vets for Special Pets. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS, that's 571-7847.
Looking for a great weekend getaway, may I suggest Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson, We were talking earlier about the monsoon and how productive it has been in southern Arizona. Well, you talk about green. The Gila National Wilderness over at Silver City is just beautiful right now for a hike. Check it out, southwestnewmexico.org, that has the complete great list of places to stay, like Agave Ridge Retreat and all the wonderful things to do, like the upcoming Gila Monster cycling event, Tour of the Gila. That's October the 4th. So there's a lot going on in Silver City, and of course, there's always a lot going on here in Pima County, where voters will vote in November on Prop 415. That would set aside $22 million for renovation and construction of the aging county-run Pima Animal Care Center on North Silverbell. There appears to be no organized opposition to this. There certainly is plenty of people who are on board, but we're joined right now by Pima County Supervisor Allie Miller. Supervisor Miller, how are you?
I'm very well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well, thanks. You are have come out against Proposition 415, and on your Facebook page on September 21st, you had a post urging folks to vote no on 415 because we can't afford, as you say, the debt, and we can't afford the maintenance. Now, this was posted to your own personal website, correct?
No, I have a Facebook page for Supervisor Allie Miller.
Okay.
And, yeah, I posted it on my own time at 5:56 in the morning. And, yes, I know what you're getting at, Bill. And mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see. Richard Elias has a pro 415 post on his Facebook page. I have asked the county attorney. I will be meeting with them in the attorney general's office, and I will be asking for opinions on these issues. My understanding is that this is not a campaign violation. For example, county pamphlets were sent out with supervisors in favor of this, mm-hmm. and it was done with taxpayer money. Taxpayer paid the postage. They paid for the printing of that document. They paid for everything, and that those were sent out. So if you read the statute, I mean, you could get down to splitting hairs here. I have been informed it is not a violation, but then there isn't even a complaint filed. So this is just a diversion to take the conversation away from the real issue, and that is the issue of $500 a square foot, which is way out of line with any facilities that we've looked at. The one in Green Valley, Animal League of Green Valley, is a no-kill shelter. And, Bill, as you know, I'm an animal lover.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a beautiful shelter, and it's very clean, and it's very well-run, and it's run with volunteers and donations. And people donate to they have a little storefront there, so they donate furniture, clothing, et cetera. The volunteers there sell to these items, and with the money they get, they fully support that shelter. And I've toured it. It's a wonderful facility, and Pima County should not be in the business of running a no-kill shelter, in my opinion. That should be done by the private sector or a nonprofit such as Animal League of Green Valley, because they do it so much better than the government can do it. And the cost is just beyond what people can afford. If you were on the phone in my office, you'd be hearing a whole lot of people calling and complaining about their taxes going up. And think about it, Bill. This isn't another cup of latte for mm-hmm. people who are living on the edge. They're barely making the rent payments. And when we increase taxes, those taxes get passed on to the renters. They get passed on to homeowners, senior citizens who are living on fixed incomes. And every single tax, every little item we have is just another latte. Well, there's a whole lot of lattes piling up, electric bills going up, et cetera, et cetera. So, and there's 1,600 homeless families in Sunnyside School District alone. These children don't have food in their stomachs at the end of the day. And we're going to put more people out of their homes if we add more debt to the county. And we're already $1.4 billion in debt. And we have the highest tax rate in the state of Arizona. This year we increased it. In the last 2 years, our tax rate has gone up 24%. And if you read the Arizona Tax Research Association report in June, their newsletter, their headline was Pima County hammers taxpayers with shocking tax increase. Shocking. And they had a paragraph in there that talked about that this is going to affect economic development in Pima County for years to come. And this is a nonpartisan watchdog organization of the counties. And they sent in a letter, which is unprecedented, to not raise the taxes because Pima County's taxes are already way out of bed from all the other counties in Arizona. And so this is something that we need to upgrade the shelter. Now, what's interesting, I just found that they spent $3 million in 2008. Sharon Bronson broke ground on it. I found an article on it. I want to know what they did with that $3 million. They're saying nothing's been done since the 60s. Well, there was $3 million of bond money spent in 2008, 2009. Yep. There was a letter and there was an article in the newspaper, and there was also a picture of Sharon Bronson and a note from her about the groundbreaking out there.
All right. I've only got about 4 minutes left. But, you know, I was thinking about this now, this latest dust-up about Facebook and all of this and that. For those that don't follow, it's great for all of us in the news. It gives us something to talk about. But for those who don't really follow all of this, the way this looks to the public is, well, there's Supervisor Miller and the rest of the board just not getting along, and the war continues.
Well, you know, this is just it, you know, the going along to get along. And if you were in the last meeting when the issue of supervisors donating funds out of their budgets, their departmental budgets, to charities came mm-hmm. up, there was a woman who I had had a conversation with a couple days before who had said exactly that. You know, we got to stop. We got to just get along. Well, Ann Day went along. And guess which district has the most failed roads in Pima County? We have 72% failed roads in District 1. We pay one-third of the taxes of all five districts. And she went along to get along. Ann Day was not a confrontational person, and it was very quiet. We never heard a lot about what was going on. When you shine the light, yes, that makes some people upset, and it brings things out. And there's no better disinfectant, Bill, and I did not get elected to go along to get along.
Yeah, but you can see what I'm saying, that many people who don't really follow the news, they just maybe read the headlines, that it's Supervisor Miller against the rest of the board again, something like that.
No. I can tell you the messaging I'm getting into my office from individuals in this community is, thank you. We finally have someone representing us. I get that over and over and over again from people in the community. So there may be a few out there that are still believing the headlines in the newspaper and not doing the research. This woman that came to the meeting that just said, wow, I'm glad I came today. I had no idea. Now I know why you don't get in the tent, Holly. And two nights before, she was trying to convince me that I needed to go along to get along. And then she saw what was going on. So she was very upset. And I will tell you the overwhelming message I get, and it is loud, and it is a lot of folks from all districts, not just District 1, is thank you for finally standing up. Thank you for finally doing something. And end of the day, I vote with the board 90 to 95% of the time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot. Yeah. That's a lot of going along to get along, Bill. So on the few issues that I think are very important, and this one is huge. When we pay $369 a square foot for a hospital for humans in Green Valley, three stories, helipad, they have intensive care units. 50-bed hospital was only $369 a square foot, and now this is $500 a square foot. Does that really make sense to you? Do you really believe we should be paying that much money? And if you look at the original cost breakdown, there were all kinds of consulting fees and escalation clauses. The latest information I got from County Administrator Jan Lesher, $0 for maintenance and operations. It will cost no more. Do you believe that? We're adding close to 26,000 square feet, and there's not going to be any additional maintenance or operations costs.
All right.
That is the other issue that people need to think about. It isn't just paying back these bonds, which if we keep our favorable interest rate that we've got right now, it'll cost us $28 million at the end of the day. But in addition, the cost of running and operating this facility is going to be causing another tax increase, because this board has proven over and over again that they are unwilling to cut spending, non-essential spending. And it has to happen sooner or later.
Got to go.
Okay.
All right. Allie Miller, thank you for
for
being with us. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Allie Miller with us on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. Thank you, Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, one of our other local talk shows with Mike Shaw, then Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 with Chris and Joe, and then 8 to 9, The Daily Double with Christy Simone. Rosemary Brandt, producer, me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you with our Friday Focus interview talking about Davis-Monthan Air Force Base tomorrow. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.